I invite you to turn with me to Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. As we consider walking by faith together. A city, a group of fishermen, a nation, and you are called to trust in God with the people of God. Today, you see a people at a turning point of faith. One generation earlier, their parents faced a similar crisis and failed. That first generation showed faith in crossing the Red Sea, but were gripped by fear at the Jordan River. The faith to cross the Red Sea was the faith of confession, repentance, and believing God. This generation, though, needs the faith of sanctification to take possession of God's promises. To be sure, it is one faith, even as it is one grace that both justifies and sanctifies you. So you are not faced with two different faiths, but different aspects of that one faith. When you surrendered to Jesus, you did not know everything that you would face from that point to now. He has grown you by nurturing you. That initial saving faith, by nurturing your initial saving faith, so that you can now say, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. This morning we have 3 points. Complete commitment, draw near and hear in the ark, a picture of Christ. Joshua chapter 3, the first 5 verses. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and he removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priest, the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. As we go to the Lord in prayer, think upon what it means to sanctify yourself. For you've not gone this way before. Our Lord and our God, we thank you. We thank you for every portion of Scripture. We thank you for every word, every jot, every tittle. We thank you that your word abideth forever and ever. Lord, we thank you that you give us law, and you give us wisdom literature, and you give us epistles. You give us the revelation. And you give us here in Joshua history and prophecy. Something that we know, a book that we know here and now in our contemporary culture is history. But we also know that Joshua was part of the former prophets. Lord, we thank you that at the death of Moses, he picked up the pen of Moses and wrote as you instructed him. And Lord, we thank you for preserving that word from that day to this, that we here, as the Sovereign Grace Assembly in 2024, might walk by faith together. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Complete commitment. Think about where they've come from and where they're going. Joshua and the children of Israel, here in this first verse, came to the Jordan. They stayed together. They prepared themselves for what was about to happen. Once they crossed the river, there would be no possibility of escape. In these first three chapters, we've already seen much. We saw in chapter 1 how that "and" continues from the last chapter of Deuteronomy, as Joshua took the pen of Moses and wrote. Of course, we remember that 2.5 tribes had asked Moses for their inheritance on the east side of the Jordan. And they were given that inheritance on condition that they go with their brothers and help their brothers conquer the land on the west side so that they can have their inheritance as they already have theirs. Notice that the faith here in verse 1 is not an individual faith. It's not you stay here and you stay over here and you do your thing and you do your thing. But Joshua and the children of Israel come to the Jordan and stay together. Modern contemporary Christianity looks more like New Age than it does biblical faith. The whole notion of me and Jesus, me and my Bible, separated from everybody else, is unbiblical and unchristian. You and me were called into community. You and me were called to stay together. You and me were called to show our faith together. I've observed in churches where they wheel out the Lord's Supper on carts, and as it's passed, folks take the bread and they take the wine. And everybody takes it literally. As soon as they pick up the bread, they take it. And literally, as soon as they take up the cup, they drink it. The way we do it, waiting until everybody gets the bread and everybody gets the wine, and then we all take it together, is significant. This is the meal of the church. And we take it together as a sign that we are one community of faith, one Lord, one baptism, one faith. Verses 2 and 3, the officers gave the command to look to the Ark of the Covenant. For they had not passed this way, and they were about to go behind it. They were told to look to the Ark. Remember what the Ark was? The Ark represented the presence of God among his people. The ark was to be situated in the midst of the camp, within the tabernacle, within the Holy of Holies. And there were three tribes on each side of the ark. Literally, it was situated in the center of the people. What were these people about to face? This people was about to face their enemies. They were about to face their enemies' armies, their enemies' chariots, their enemies' walled cities. So they were to show complete commitment to God by keeping their distance from the ark and letting it go before them. Only the priest were to touch the ark. And only the priest were to touch the ark in the prescribed manner. Remember, there was an occasion which the ark was brought back. And it was brought back in a way that was not prescribed by God. And it started to tilt and to fall. And there was a man who went to level it up. And the man was struck dead. Because he was trying to do things in his strength rather than in God's. He was trying to do things his way rather than God's. He was like Nadab and Abihu. He was like Cain. He was like Ananias and Sapphira. He was like all of those throughout the pages of Scripture who did things their way rather than God's prescribed way. Only the priests were allowed to touch it, and only in God's prescribed manner. And there was to be a distance between the ark and the people. Doesn't that show us the transcendence of God? In the ark, do we not see both the Lord's transcendence and his immanence? It was situated in the center of the camp. The ark, being the representation of God, was situated in the center of the camp. It was imminent to the people. But as it goes before them, they're to keep their distance. God is transcendent. He is holy and above you and me. Verses 6 through 13, we see, draw near and hear. And Joshua spake unto the priest, saying, take up the ark of the covenant, and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant, and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priest that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said to the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you in the Jordan. Now therefore, take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off, from the waters that come down from above. And they shall stand up on an heap. Draw near and hear. The priest took the ark and they led the people. The priest went before. It is no mistake. It is not incidental that shepherding and sheep are commonly used in both testaments in reference to the people of God. Think about how sheep are cared for in contrast to how cattle are cared for. The Old West witnessed cattle drives in which men would drive the cattle from the rear. You don't see sheep being driven from the rear. Rather, the sheep are led from the front. The sheep follow the shepherd. And these men, these priests, ordained of God, were sent out ahead of the people with the ark, with the visible representation of God to lead the people. That moment in time was Joshua's inauguration as Israel's leader. That moment in time. Think about it in terms of our day. In November, we will have an election. In November, we will have an election. On election night, they will announce the president-elect. But the president-elect does not take power until January, when he is inaugurated. Joshua, he's already taken up the pen of Moses. He's already been seen as a leader among the people. But up to this point, he pales in comparison to Moses in the eyes of the people. But Joshua was promised that at this moment in time, he is going to be seen alongside Moses in the eyes of the people. This is his inauguration. This is the moment in which God begins to use him as the visible leader of God's people. This was a different experience from what had happened at the Red Sea when Moses went down to the water, smote it with his rod, and all that night the waters rolled back, allowing Israel to pass through the waters. Moses smote the waters. The waters rolled back almost as a scroll, and the people passed through on dry land. Here, though, the Jordan is at flood stage. There are two rainy seasons in Israel, the spring and the fall, and there is a more abundant rain in the spring. This is the spring of the year. There's been an abundance of rain. The Jordan is rushing at flood stage to the Dead Sea. The ark was to go down somewhere around 3,000 feet, almost a mile ahead of the people. Think about that. God has commanded that the ark go ahead of the people, that the people keep their distance. And when we hear it in cubits, it doesn't quite register, but it's roughly 3,000 feet. There's 5,200 feet in a mile. It's almost a mile's distance between the ark and the children of Israel. It was to be carried by the priest, who were to go to the edge of the river and stand there. Remember, they're taking the land. They're going in on a conquest. They're going in to conquer the peoples of Canaan. And God gives orders. They don't sound like military orders. Go to the edge of the river and stand. The people on the west side of the Jordan would have observed this. Remember last week, I shared with you how when the two spies went into Jericho, it was reported to them that the people of Jericho had heard about what God had done 40 years prior at the Red Sea. The people of Jericho had heard what God had done in and among and through his people, and they feared this people that were on their borders. So the people on the west side, the Canaanites, they possibly felt that they had days or weeks before the Israelites could get across. I mean, in the natural realm, it looks like, hey, we've got a little bit of time. We've got a buffer. The river is at flood stage. It is rushing waters. They thought that there was no immediate danger. But God has other plans. God is going to show his might, his strength, his awesome wonder. It brings us to 14 through 17 as we see the ark as a picture of Christ. And it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people. And as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zaretan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Consider the picture here. When the priest came to the edge of the river, the flow of water was stopped. The flow of water was stopped. Now, I've heard some liberals say, well, it was flood stage, and naturally at flood stage, there's occasions when the banks of the river will fall in, and it will create a kind of a natural dam. But what does a dammed up riverbed look like if not given time? It's muddy. It would be difficult for one person to make their way through that riverbed, much less a whole nation. The scripture says that they walked through on dry ground. The waters were stopped upstream. The flow finished its course So the flow of water from where God stopped it finished its course, and the land was dry, giving the children of Israel opportunity to cross over in the spring of the year. These priests, they moved to the center of the Jordan and stood still until all Israel had passed. Can you imagine in the human realm what it would be like to be given the orders to stand still in the middle of a riverbed that just moments earlier had been rushing, wondering how long is it going to be before these waters begin again? Interestingly, Israel crossed at Jordan, but the waters were stopped all the way back to the city of Adam. To my knowledge, nobody's ever found this city of Adam. But there's a sense in which that city of Adam is your origin and mine. In a sense, Adam is the city from which you and me came, because Adam is the father of all, and by Adam came death. This city, upstream from Jericho, some distance, is named Adam. The water is cut off there. We go back to the creation. Adam, the first man, was the one by whom, as we looked in Sunday school, Romans 5, 1 Corinthians 15, by one man, death entered the world. What happened at the Jordan represented the death and resurrection of Christ and his work on the cross. What happened at the Jordan represented the death and resurrection of Christ and his work on the cross. That work not only reached forward to you and to me, that work reached back to Adam. What a wonderful picture you have before you here. What a wonderful picture we have in this third chapter of Joshua, as we get a glimpse, as we read the history of this rushing, mighty, flood stage river, all at once being stopped up upstream at the city of Adam. And the riverbed dry. And the children of Israel being able to pass over that riverbed on dry land. When you and me think upon the cross, we must not only think in terms of what it does, what it did from that moment on, we must think in terms that all men depend on the cross. Jesus' work at Calvary was not from that moment on only. Jesus' work on Calvary reached both directions in time simultaneously. So that everyone that we read of in Hebrews 11, they were saved by the same faith, through the same grace that you and me are saved through. No one ever, ever, ever was saved through the observance of the law. Hebrews 11 makes it clear, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. They were saved by faith as they looked forward to those prophecies trusting God that God will fulfill each and every one of them. You and me are saved in the same manner, only we look back to that cross and we understand it to be the fulfillment of all that God had formerly said through the prophets. The ark had been the very center of Israel's camp for 40 years. And now it goes ahead to the Jordan and enters first. Jesus entered death for you and for me. For 40 years, that ark was imminent among the people. What did John write in his gospel? The Word became flesh and He dwelt among us. We beheld His glory. The people were given the exact dimensions and every detail of this ark. They beheld the glory of the ark, the visible manifestation, the visible representation of God Himself in their midst. And now, that ark goes ahead of them into the Jordan. Jesus would enter death for you and for me. I bring you back to that city that John read of earlier, Nineveh. Yeah, God could have easily called out one individual, but God chose to call out the city. Everyone from the king to the least among the Ninevites heard the preaching of Jonah, gave confession, gave repentance, showed the repentance in sackcloth and ashes. A group of fishermen, James and John, Simon and Andrew, they didn't come to Jesus on their own. They came as a group. They walked together for the next 3 years as a group, as a community of faith. In a few minutes, we'll read the nation Israel. What's interesting in Psalm 62, it sounds in the opening verses as though the psalmist is speaking personally, but then he transitions, as we'll see in just a few minutes, and makes it a broad appeal to the nation. A city, a group of fishermen, a nation, and you are called to trust in God with the people of God. There is no room for Lone Ranger Christians. There's no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. Worship attendance is not an option. I don't care if a church chooses to go 6 weeks without meeting. With the explanation that during the 6 weeks that we don't meet, we hope to grow closer to God. It's not going to happen. If you forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some, you are forsaking the Lord your God. You cannot walk together by faith if you're not walking together. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank you that you call us into community. You call us into community through confession and repentance. You call us to surrender completely to you. You give us baptism and the Lord's Supper. as tokens of that community. We're baptized, taking the sign of the covenant. And we receive the Lord's Supper together as those baptized into the covenant community. Lord, we thank you that you gift each of us uniquely for your service. You make some to be ears, some to be eyes, some to be hands and feet. And the parts that seem unseemly, you give greater honor to. Lord, we thank you that you bring us together under your lordship and your kingship as one people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.